And turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings 10, verses 1 through 29, we'll be reading this evening. First Kings 10, verse 1. And this is God's perfect word. Now when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large retinue, with camels carrying spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king which he did not explain to her. When the king of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters and their attire, his cupbearers and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity the report which I heard. How blessed are your men, how blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness." She gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great amount of spices and precious stones. Never again did such abundance of spices come in as that which the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. Also the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir a very great number of almug trees and precious stones. The king made of the almug trees supports for the house of the Lord and for the king's house. Also lyres and harps for the singers. Such almug trees have not come in again, nor have they been seen to this day. King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire which she requested, besides what he gave her according to his royal bounty. Then she turned and went to her own land together with her servants. Now the weight of gold which came in to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Besides that, from the traders and the wares of the merchants and all the kings of the Arabs and the governors of the country. King Solomon made 200 large shields of beaten gold, using 600 shekels of gold on each large shield. He made 300 shields of beaten gold, using 3 minas of gold on each shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with refined gold. There were 6 steps to the throne and a round top to the throne at its rear, and arms on each side of the seat, and 2 lions standing beside the arms. 12 lions were standing there on the 6 steps on the one side and on the other. Nothing like it was made for any other kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold. And all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of gold, pure gold. None was of silver. It was not considered valuable in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea the ships of Tarshish with the ships of Hiram. Once every 3 years the ships of Tarshish came bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. All the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom which God had put in his heart. They brought every man his gift, articles of silver and gold, garments, weapons, spices, horses and mules, so much year by year. Now Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, and he stationed them in the chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. The king made silver as common as stones in Jerusalem, and he made cedars as plentiful as sycamore trees that are in the lowland. Also Solomon's import of horses was from Egypt and Kew, and the king's merchants procured them from Kew for a price. A chariot was imported from Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And by the same means they exported them to all the kings of the Hittites and to the kings of the Arameans. That is God's word to us this evening. As we come to chapter 10 here, after the dedication of the temple, after the house of the king Solomon had been built, we learn more about Solomon's kingdom. In fact, this is kind of a, in some ways, a summary of his kingdom. Gold is found everywhere. There is great wealth. 14 times in the chapter, gold, the word gold appears. And verse 14 reveals to us that Solomon took in each year 20 tons of gold. And verse 15 shows that that wasn't all the gold. There was more gold that was coming in, but it was at least 20 and a little bit more than 20 tons of gold. And as the Queen of Sheba had heard about this king, she did not believe all that she heard, and so she came to see for herself and talk to King Solomon and finds that everything about Solomon and the kingdom are breathtaking. Even the soldiers' shields, we have a description here, have a gold outlay or gold plated, and approximately 7.5 pounds of gold was in each shield. We are to take away then from this chapter there that at least this kingdom was massively impressive. And with grateful enthusiasm does the writer tell us about these things. In verse 7, the Queen of Sheba says that Solomon exceeded in wisdom and prosperity, the report that she had heard. So she had heard certain things and he had exceeded these. And her statement ends with a great commendation and a note of praise to Yahweh in verse 9, which says, "Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness." And the narrator also gives us a summary at the end of the chapter, verses 23 through 25. And this is this perspective we are to leave with, the kind of a summary of the chapter. "So King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. All the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his gift, articles of silver and gold, garments, weapons, spices, horses, and mules, so much year by year." Again, this shows that Yahweh has again indeed fulfilled his promise that he made in chapter 3 of 1 Kings regarding Solomon's wisdom and wealth. It also shows us in verse 1 Yahweh's reputation. Now when King Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. And we also see in verse 9, Yahweh's love. And in verse 24, Yahweh's giving to Solomon. And so that is generally what we're to see in this chapter. So what can we conclude? We may conclude that this chapter speaks a word of testimony to us, God's people. That the prosperity of God's people is always a gift of Yahweh. That's what we see at the end of the chapter. It's a gift of Yahweh's goodness. That is, anything that we are provided with, whether it's food, water, little things to great things, it is from a gift of Yahweh's goodness. And it should yield a response of gratitude, lest we idolize the gifts in place of God. And it should yield a response of joy, lest we despise God's gifts as though they are sinful in some way. And so we should have this gratitude and joy. There's also a sense in which this chapter is not just a word of testimony, but a word of prophecy for the attraction that Solomon's kingdom held for the nations of his day is somewhat a foreshadowing of the destiny of the kingdom of God on earth to come. The Queen of Sheba is a sample of the future homage the nations will bring to the true and final covenant King Jesus. And so here's a picture of the Queen of Sheba. In verses 24 and 25, all these foreigners, all these Gentiles, nations who are being drawn towards the covenant kingdom, being drawn toward Yahweh. And that would be a foreshadowing of what is to come, even in our day. And then we have a word of criticism. We come to the end of the chapter, but Jesus says in Matthew about this, that we haven't finished seeing the Queen of Sheba. Matthew 12 says, "The Queen of the South, who is the Queen of Sheba, will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here." And that statement comes at the end of a couple of chapters in Matthew which describe the unbelief of Israel. and their leadership. What Jesus was saying, as the Jews called for a sign for Jesus to prove himself, he refused to give that sign and to prove his claims. He tells them, there she is, the Queen of Sheba. And she had less truth than you do. She had less privilege than you do today, Jews. All she had was Solomon's wisdom and was not one of Solomon's people. Yet she came to hear his words. The Jews later faced the greater than Solomon Jesus Christ as he was speaking to them in that time, and his own words and works, and they refused to hear him. The Jews' greater privilege will not secure their immunity, but will aggravate their responsibility. That's Jesus' point as he makes it in Matthew 12. Most of us stand today in the sandals of the Jews of Israel. We have even more light than Israel. We have more light than the Jews had in that day. And whether we are viciously resistant, like they were, or merely casually indifferent to him makes no difference. Either of those will come under great judgment. And our calling, as we have more privilege and we've heard more from Jesus than they ever had, we are to come and stand in awe, unlike they. We are to come and stand in awe at the greater than Solomon and bow at his feet, unlike what they did, and worship him and hear his word. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word that we have from 1 Kings. We thank you that you remind us that all the things that we have, whether it's very little or very great, it's all a gift from you because of your goodness to us, your people. We thank you that what awaits us in the eternal realm and the new heavens and new earth is so much greater than what we will have here. And yet, what is greatest is that we will have you. And so, Father, we ask that our focus would be upon such things, and that all the things that we receive on this earth, we would be thankful for, and we would respond with great joy and gratitude and thankfulness. And Father, we pray that we would not be like the Jews, which we are about to hear about in the Gospel of John. Lest that be any of us, that we would believe and just agree that you are, your Son is Yahweh, or that we would just be vicious towards your gospel and hate you. Father, lest we be any of those things, we ask that you would call us to yourself and cause us by your Spirit to come before your throne and repent of our sins. Lord, we have been given much, not only in provision, but in the provision of your word. We have heard more than the Jews of that day heard. We have heard more than the Queen of Sheba heard. We ask that we would receive it, your word, with joy and with the longing to obey you and to believe what you have told us, wholeheartedly submitting ourselves to you and bowing before your feet. Our Father, we ask this day that you would rebuke us, train us up in righteousness, that you would correct our sin and put us back on the path of walking in your ways, that you would teach us your doctrines, teach us your law, and demand of us perfect obedience through your Son, whose name we pray. Amen.